DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Today is going to be a very fun edition of our program. We are so glad you are with us. It is Mike Griffith a little bit later on. He has become a really great part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. He's going to be outstanding today. I hope, though, on our Dog Nation video channels, you've had a chance to check out our brand new feature. It's called DN90. It's presented by Dixie Vodka. And yesterday, we talked to you on DN90 about a great event that Dog Nation was able to be a part of on Saturday. We were with Matt and John Stinchcomb, former Georgia quarterback David Green, as a part of their Dogs for Kids Night. It benefits the Georgia Transplant Foundation, Children's Health Care of Atlanta. And it's obviously cool to see those great former UGA stars giving back to the community. But the other cool thing about being in a room like that is you get to rub elbows, you get to hobnob a bit with some former Georgia stars. And that's always kind of fun to sort of be with them for a good cause, but also have a chance to hear from them about their current thoughts about what they're going to see on the field for Georgia in 2018. And as you might imagine, this is a pretty cool time to be a Georgia alumnus, former Georgia player, when you're traveling those NFL circles, when you're traveling around the world, when people say, oh, didn't you play for Georgia? That guy gets to say, yeah, I did, and have you seen how good they are right now? It's really cool to see the sense of pride that fills all these former Georgia players when they are talking about, you know, the current state of the team and the fact that this is a Georgia team that might sort of push through in a big way and maybe even win a national championship here in 2018. An example of that is a guy we saw Saturday night at Dogs for Kids, and that's former Georgia wide receiver Muhammad Massaqua, who's got a great story to tell about his own sort of recovery. You know, we talk about the event itself benefiting the Georgia Transplant Foundation. Many of you are aware that Massaqua himself has his own transplanted mechanical, really interesting piece of technology that serves as a hand for him. It's an incredible story that Massaqua tells. He told part of that to us on a Saturday night as well. But obviously, when you get Muhammad Massaqua, a great former Georgia wide receiver, you want to talk to him about some football. And the thing that was on Muhammad Massaqua's mind was the Georgia transfer wide receiver Demetrius Robertson, who we still don't know yet if D-Rob is going to be eligible for 2018. We do know that he's practicing right now. And when Muhammad Massaqua spoke to us on Saturday night, the one thing that he said is he hopes that he can see D-Rob eligible here in 2018, because he thinks that Robertson, both a great story coming back to his home state and potentially a big impact for the Dogs. Here is one very good wide receiver, Muhammad Massaqua, talking about another in Demetrius Robertson. I think you'll like this.
He chose Georgia for a reason. It's a big stage, but I think that a player of his caliber, that's the reason he came here. I think he's definitely going to enhance the offense just because I've seen his skill set. I'm a fan of what he can do. And hopefully they allow him to play this year. It gives us a greater chance to get to where we're trying to get to. And the quicker he plays, the quicker he realizes a lot of his dreams.
So I think that's really great for Demetrius, or I should say Muhammad Massaqua, talking about Demetrius Robertson. A, I've got great memories of Massaqua in a Georgia uniform. I think about the touchdown catch he had back in 2006 to win the game against Georgia Tech, the great throw from Matthew Stafford. What was probably a better football game than you might remember. Massaqua, one of the stars there, just a really great story, a very good football player. And obviously he's seen some good things from Demetrius Robertson and wants Robertson on this field for Georgia this season. I've been very clear about my thoughts on Robertson here. I think this is a potential game changer for UGA. If he's eligible in 2018, I think it takes a Georgia offense that's very good and maybe puts that at the next level, because we know this Georgia offensive line is likely going to be at least very solid, if not exceptional. The Georgia running backs, the collection, it's hard to imagine they don't produce something pretty spectacular themselves. You know, it's that wide receiver core that could be the missing piece, and Robertson could be the piece to that core that puts that group over the top, and all of a sudden this Georgia offense becomes a very, very tough thing to deal with. So it's kind of funny you hear there Massaqua almost campaigning to see Demetrius Robertson ruled eligible from the NCAA on the heels of Robertson's decision to transfer from Cal. It's worth noting, though, that Kirby Smart, when he's spoken about this, has taken a little more political route here, not quite openly campaigning, not quite using the bully pulpit at his disposal to talk about why he thinks Robertson should be eligible. He's been very clear every step of the way to say that this is in the hands of the NCAA, and we're simply waiting to hear what they decide to do. And, of course, we all know the NCAA operates on its own timeline here. Not much in the way of deadlines for them when they make choices like this. In fact, when Kirby spoke to the media on Friday, he spoke once again about Demetrius Robertson and said, hey, it's all about the waiting game for right now.
I think it would be presumptuous to think that makes it better for us because it's handled in a case-by-case basis with the NCAA. So each one of those cases would have been independent of his because each one of them would be based on that student-athlete's situation. And I think in Demetrius' situation, it may be similar, it may be different than theirs, but each one's independent. So obviously we're hopeful, but it's out of our hands, and the NCAA will get back to us when they get done with the appeal.
I could have done a better job of setting that clip up. That Kirby Smart refers to at the beginning of it is a series of transfers where guys have been ruled eligible this season, in which cases where like the letter of the law might say that guys should have had to sort of sit that year of residence before they could be eligible. But the NCAA is sort of not really in a mood to almost follow its own rule book right now. There's a huge tide that's shifted in favor of players when it comes to this kind of stuff from the NCAA. And the conventional wisdom is that Demetrius Robertson and the University of Georgia will benefit from that here, but Kirby Smart obviously not wanting to be too presumptuous when he speaks about that subject, which sort of leads to an interesting scenario for Georgia practices right now, where you've got Robertson practicing. I think people who were at the open practice on Saturday would say, yeah, he very much looked the part as a former five-star wide receiver transferring into the program, but Georgia sort of has to operate here on parallel tracks. The one track of, hey, what if this guy is eligible and ready to compete and contribute to this team here in 2018, or the other track, which is the NCAA, for whatever reason, decides it wants to, to throw the book at Roberts and make him sit out the year. The Georgia wide receiver core all of a sudden looks very different in that regard. All of this is, of course, not lost on the Georgia offensive coordinator, Jim Janey, who made his yearly appearance with the media before this weekend on Saturday to talk about a lot of subjects. And on the subject of the Georgia wide receiver core, he was ready to say, listen, when it comes to Demetrius Robertson, all of that's taking place well over my head and very far out of my hands. Here is Jim Janey, just pretty candid about what he doesn't know yet about Demetrius Robertson.
The D-Rob question, I don't even want to touch on it. Right now he's in here playing. That's over my pay grade, whether or not he's ever going to be eligible to play. When that thing does come through or not come through, we'll deal with it then. Everything else, I'll refer to Kirby. Let him, Coach Smart, deal with that one.
In other words, no matter how much Muhammad Massaquah and me and you and everybody else might want Demetrius Robertson playing until he is ruled eligible, there's not a whole lot that Jim Janey can do about that other than just sort of throw him out there, practice, and sort of see what he can do. Which does bring us to a pretty interesting point. And I hope you caught this from Monday's episode of our program here, because Chip Towers recognized a pretty cool thing happening on the practice field for Demetrius Robertson. I think this really speaks to how Georgia has sort of evolved as a program since Kirby Smart took the job in 2016. You know, Kirby preaches all the time about the need for leaders. Got to have leaders emerge. Got to have leaders step up. And I think you see examples of Georgia players taking that to heart. An example of that was maybe last year when Mecole Hardman was going to emerge as a first-year wide receiver in his second year with the program. And one of the guys that sort of helped him get into that role and get into that spot was Georgia wide receiver Terry Godwin. Well, lo and behold, here we are a year later. Godwin, as you're probably aware of, has been dealing with a bit of a knee injury, but that limitation for him in practice hasn't stopped Godwin from being a big-time leader. According to Chip Towers, as he explained on Monday, the transition for Demetrius Robertson coming from the Pac-12, a very different brand of football, to what he's going to be asked to do here at the University of Georgia, that transition is apparently being aided once again by a guy in Terry Godwin who's becoming a real leader for this Georgia wide receiver core. Let me take you back in time to Monday. I love this eyewitness account of what's going on at Georgia practice from Chip Towers.
I think the most impressive thing I saw out there was when Demetrius Robertson was on the field every single time. Terry Godwin was trotting out there near him and just yelling instructions to him and kind of making sure he knew what the play was and knew what his particular route was going to be on every single play based on the signals that were being given in. I thought that was a wonderful example of the camaraderie and the teamsmanship that you're seeing in that wide receiver core. D-Rob was out there and working out, and you can see what all the fuss is about, and Terry Godwin is doing everything he can to help get that kid ready to play. Whether he does or not, we still don't know, but Terry Godwin is definitely doing his part as being the leader of that group.
So listen, here's the bottom line for me on this entire discussion. As I said before, there's just something for me that'll always be cool about hearing former Georgia greats talk about maybe current or future Georgia greats. I just love the idea that the players that once played in this program are still fans of this program. In the case of Muhammad Massaquah, that's apparently still very much the case. And I think that his heart when it comes to Demetrius Robertson's absolutely in the right place. I do think Robertson, were he to be ruled eligible by the NCAA, changes the calculus in a huge way for Georgia. A team team that's already thought to be very good, ranked in the top five and virtually all these preseason polls, may even be better than that. I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, but I don't think it's too bold to say that the presence of Demetrius Robertson eligible and playing in Athens this fall could be the missing piece for a championship for the University of Georgia. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Marco's Pizza, and we're glad you're with us no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., the Dog Nation Facebook page, Dog Nation YouTube page, the Dog Nation Twitter feed. We're also on the radio with our friends every day at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available in podcast form wherever podcasts can be found, whether you're listening on the Apple Podcast player, the Google Podcast player there on the Android devices, SoundCloud, the worldfamousdognation.com, just wherever you are. Thanks for being with us here today, and it's been fun to chat with many of you about your excitement about the upcoming season. You can really sort of feel this kind of mid-August situation here where it really feels like we've kind of have that start of the season inside, and it's been kind of fun to set the table for all of you with that here on Dog Nation Daily every single day, presented by Marco's Pizza. And speaking of Marco's Pizza, they invite you to score big with Marco's. You can get dough made fresh every day and a sauce made from the original Giammarco family recipe. It's every store every day the Italian way, including those three signature cheeses melted and blended together right there on the top of that authentic Italian crust, and you can get two medium, two topping pizzas for $6.99 each. So say hello, Primo, and go to Marcos.com and take advantage of that great everyday offer from our friends there. All right, it's Mike Griffith coming up a little bit later on in the program. I also want to play you in a moment what I thought was a pretty cool piece of audio from Kirby Smart yesterday, a pretty significant compliment to a Georgia running back, the freshman James Cook. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me kind of stay on the subject that I was just on, talking about Georgia wide receivers here. Obviously, Demetrius Robertson isn't the only wide receiver of note for UGA this season. Terry Godwin dealing with an injury, Robertson dealing with the uncertain status, but there's a whole other crop of both new coming players to the program, guys moving into their second year, established veterans, and, you know, Jim Chaney's obviously thinking, as I said a moment ago, not just about, you know, what happens if Robertson's eligible, but what the rest of this group looks like. And I thought that Chaney offered some really candid comments about that group when he spoke to the media on Saturday, both in terms of the guys that we know about and the one thing, maybe apart from catching the football, that may help other few other guys get on that bus for some of those away games when the travel roster's a lot smaller. If you're a Georgia fan, you like this evaluation from Jim Chaney. Take a listen to this.
Receiving corps in general, they're older. They played a lot. You know, you got Riley and McCoe and Terry. These guys have played a lot. Trey played last year. JJ played last year. The one thing about our receiver corps that you got to remember, if you think about special teams, with Tyler Simmons, Riley, and Jason Stanley all playing over 100 snaps last year on special teams, that's a game and a quarter of nothing more than special teams. In places where I've been, wide receivers haven't played that much. So that's telling you a little bit about their character. They care about the team and their physical football players. You can't play special teams and be any other way. And we try to encourage all our kids in our room. And it's going to get down to that room. When we walk out on that bus, who's going to be on the bus is going to be who's going to play on special teams. If you have a first-round wideout, maybe we do, maybe we don't. I don't know for sure yet till we go play. Maybe he don't play special teams. But in our room, they have a great understanding of their need to do that to be able to get on the bus. And that can be said for a lot of positions. We don't get to travel 110 people. We're going to travel 70. You want to be on it, go earn that spot. And we have enough competition now that the kids understand that. You don't have to beat around the bush on that stuff.
I love that from Jim Chaney. He's essentially saying that if you're a wide receiver that does want to play special teams, maybe you're not the kind of wide receiver that UGA wants. Chaney wants toughness at that position like anything else, and I think that's a great evaluation from the Georgia offensive coordinator, and I believe that UGA fans would agree. Now, speaking of guys that can catch passes for Georgia, even though he's not technically a wide receiver, Georgia running back James Cook, many of you who are at the open practice thought that freshman looked great, thought he was in some ways dazzling, and well, it sounds like Kirby Smart kind of agrees. We'll talk to Mike Griffith about this in just a moment. But let me let you hear Kirby Smart admitting, you know what, in that open practice, the freshman running back Cook, yeah, he did look pretty good.
I would say that day was a little special. I mean, when we go back, we went and watch the tape of that practice,
He had a lot of balls. He had a, it just happened that way. It wasn't like it was by design. Hey, this is going to be James Cook feature day. I mean, he had some plays that he hit, and he looked really good, and he had really good GPS numbers. So, I mean, I felt like you did, but I can't say that's been every practice. It hasn't stuck out like that. But that practice, if you just had that practice to go off of, which y'all do, I could see that because he had a really good practice. He's an exciting player. He loves football. He's tough. He's not afraid to compete with anybody at 185 pounds. I really like watching the guy play, but to say that he's more ready than any of those other backs, that's a long stretch because he's got a long way to go.
Kirby's in such a tough position when it comes to stuff like that because obviously shows like this one, fans who listen to a show like this are going to hang on every single word that he says if it seems like he's complimenting one of the freshmen. That's just sort of the nature of sports. Pro sports fans like rookies, college sports fans like freshmen, newcomers to a program just bring a sense of excitement. It sounds like there's some justifiable excitement around James Cook right now, but as Kirby lets you know, that is also a very deep running back core try to work your way up the ladder on right now. This will be a fun storyline to watch the rest of the summer. For more on the subject of James Cook and everything else that's happened at Georgia practice over the last couple of days, let's get ready to talk to our buddy Mike Griffith. It's great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And as I get ready to say hello to Mike Griffith, who we're going to have a great conversation with, let me also take a moment to take care of a little business here. This afternoon, as I record this live on a Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, we make the return of Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger tonight. Myself, Jeff Sintel, talking a little Georgia recruiting this afternoon. This is going to be great stuff. DJ Daniel has announced his commitment date for his decision. We'll hear from DJ Daniel on our program tonight and a lot of other big-time recruiting stuff this afternoon with Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger. Be with us right here on this Dog Nation video channel that you may be watching this on. We'll also make it available for you as a podcast as well. It's 3 p.m. this afternoon on Dog Nation, all across the landscape of the Dog Nation stuff here. So check that out here today. And with that, let me say hello to Mike Griffith. Mike, thanks for being with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. How are you doing today, my friend?
Doing well. How are you doing, D.A.?
I am doing really great. And before you joined us, one of the things we were talking about was what Kirby Smart said about James Cook yesterday. And as I mentioned just literally a couple seconds ago, you know, if you're Kirby, you're in a tough spot here because if you praise James Cook, everybody, including me, admittedly, going to be hanging on every word there. But when the open practice takes place and you see Cook, who's always had dazzling speed, when he shows that off, when he shows off a repertoire that's more than just a traditional tailback, people are going to notice. And based on what Kirby said yesterday, it sounds like he's noticed about Cook as well. What did you think of what you've seen from Cook this far, and what did you think about what Kirby Smart had to say about the freshman running back yesterday?
Well, I mean, I like James Cook from the first time I saw his tape. I mean, you look at a guy from South Florida, and when you're running away from people against that level of competition, and really South Florida football is the best. It's the highest concentration of Division I prospects. And, you know, James was a standout there. The only question I had was, you know, his size. I still have a question about that at 185. I mean, obviously this isn't a guy that can develop, you know, that right now isn't ready to be, the bell cow kind of back. He's just not big enough for that. But clearly, you know, he's just another weapon. I mean, it's another tool in the tool belt for Georgia and Jim Chaney. And exciting for Georgia to have this sort of player on their roster. Anybody that was there at Fan Day in person saw what James Cook could do. And, I appreciated Kirby for acknowledging it. You know, one thing about Kirby Smart is, you know, he gives credit where it's due. And as we also saw yesterday, he's not afraid to call out some older upperclassmen guys.
Yeah, and along those lines, I mean, when you look at Cook and how he fits into this running back competition that does include a couple of the older guys that Kirby Smart didn't mention by name yesterday, but as I told Chip a little earlier this week, my assumption is that, you know, while Kirby's not going to play a guy just because he's more experienced, guys like Holyfield and Harrion could potentially use that experience to make themselves more playable than a freshman like Cook, who's still kind of working his way into the college realm here. I mean, do you view Holyfield and Brian Harrion having an advantage over James Cook right now, or do you think it's essentially, I don't know, even footing for all these guys here?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, they're proven guys. They've been around for a while, and, you know, obviously they're going to be more comfortable with the playbook. Things are going to come more second nature to them. I mean, there's more to running back than just having the ball in your hands. I mean, you've got to be able to prove you can pass block. You've got to be able to make adjustments and protections. You've got to be an efficient route runner and have timing with your quarterback. Maybe we'll see a guy like Cook pop up on special teams. You know, I know that, you know, Georgia doesn't have a lack of great return men, but, you know, what this guy does in the open field is special and exciting. And but to your question, B.A., yeah, I mean, obviously older guys have an advantage, but, you know, it comes down to performance. And if you can put James Cook in the game here and there and, you know, he can break a play or do something exciting, I mean, like I said, it's another tool, it's another weapon, it's another option for the Georgia offense.
Let me shift gears here and talk about something else that Kirby Smart said yesterday. He sort of talked, and you wrote about this, he talked about, you know, the need to avoid complacency and the need to, you know, I'm going to paraphrase here, but just sort of stay hungry on the heels of kind of some of the good stuff that happened for the program a year ago. And I know that for a lot of people, Mike, who may be outsiders, just sort of casually looking in on this, they may say, well, what is a coach supposed to say in that regard? But, Mike, I can tell you from having listened closely to Kirby Smart a year ago, this is a guy that, you know, doesn't go negative just to go negative. He complimented Georgia practices a lot a season ago. He doesn't sort of, I think, feel the need to sort of make up some sort of negative narrative just to sort of make him sound like a tough-nosed football coach. If he says some of the things that he says yesterday, I'm going to take him at his word on that. What did you think about Kirby's remarks yesterday in terms of, you know, making sure this team essentially keeps its edge?
Well, I think he's putting guys on notice. I mean, you know, there is a, you know, it is kind of a scary. I know what Kirby's getting at. I remember Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State used to say that for a team to be at its best, the seniors need to have their best year. Well, you know, you look at what Georgia lost, and they're being replaced by guys that were second and third teamers that weren't good enough to beat them out. Well, now all of a sudden, those guys that weren't good enough to be starters that are now juniors and seniors are competing with the number one signing class in the country. And, you know, it could upset the apple cart if a couple of these freshmen break through and are able to beat out guys that are, you know, second, third, fourth year guys based on talent. You know, Kirby's going to have to manage the locker room. So he's got to be fair. He's got to be up front. And he's got to put guys on notice and say, you know what? You may be the guy, you may have been the best guy at your position last year, but there's a new guy there this year. You may be the guy who's in line to take over at, you know, spot A, B, or C. But now there's a younger guy who's come in with more talent who's got a chance to jump you. And that's what's happening right now. And, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I saw someone, I guess it was on Twitter, said, you know, boy, it sure is crazy that, you know, Georgia lost, you know, seven starters off their defense and they think they can be better. Well, they can. I mean, and just because someone's coming back doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. I think people get too married with the notion of, oh, they have this many guys back. Well, if they stunk last year, they'll probably stink again. Doesn't matter how many guys they'll have back. So in Georgia's case, though, when you've got this influx of great talent, it kind of raises the bar a little bit. And so these guys who maybe weren't starters before, that maybe we just assumed would be starters because they were next in line, may not be the case, and I think that's what's happening. So when Kirby says there's a lot of competition out there, he's not saying it for his health, and he's putting his players on notice, and he's putting his locker room on notice, because at the end of the day, everybody's got to feel like they've had a fair chance, everybody's got to feel like they've been communicated with, or they may feel like they get their feelings hurt. We saw that happen in Alabama, where people get their feelings hurt. They talk to the media.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, along those lines, Mike, I think that that's always been, to me, one of the most underrated aspects of trying to recruit, as well as Georgia's recruited as of late and some of the other powers around college football who've had, you know, similar success in that regard. Obviously, you potentially get a better, you know, two deep on the field for Saturdays. But when you have as deep a roster as Georgia's put together, and I agree with you, I think the 2018 roster, at least on a sort of composite, just sort of raw numbers basis, is even deeper than the one from 2017 that went to the college football playoff. Results we'll find out, but in terms of just the measurable depth, I think this is a deeper roster. And when you have a roster that's deep, that's as deep as the one that Georgia has, you can make an event out of practice. You know, some programs can't run as many reps because they don't have as many players, or they can't have as intense of a, you know, scrimmage scenario because they don't have good guys lining up across from other good guys. But at Georgia, you can create that, which I do think sort of pushes away any kind of, you know, false narrative about who's the best and who's supposed to be starting, because you're actually watching it unfold with your own eyes during practice, and you get to see at least a glimpse of that every day.
No, you're right, and you said it best. Practice does become an event. There's no time for anyone to be routine. There's no time for anyone to be complacent, you know. And I've got a story that's going to come out a little bit later on today about Isaac Mata talking about the quarterbacks. And, you know, everybody's aware that Georgia has a quarterback competition, you know, but when I say everybody, I mean, you know, players, fans, coaches. I mean, it doesn't take much to figure that out once you've seen Justin Fields play once. But these players, they don't have a whole lot of time to talk about it because they're all worried about their own jobs. And that's a good scenario. When you've got this sort of competition, this is when teams are at their best. Now, there needs to be some leadership. There needs to be some guys that step up. And you need to have some vocal leaders, certainly. You got to have guys leading by example, which is what Kirby was a little upset about yesterday, that some of the guys he says that are the best players aren't having, you know, the best practices. And that's not acceptable. It's not what's going to win a championship. I mean, there's other programs out there that are hungry. I mean, you better believe South Carolina's got the date circled on their schedule. You know, you better believe Florida can't wait to get at them again. And, you know, Auburn told you they didn't play their best game in the SEC championship game. And, you know, Alabama would love nothing more than to play Georgia again and beat them in more convincing fashion because, you know, a lot of people know Alabama backed into the playoffs, probably didn't even deserve to be there as good as they were. So, you know, Georgia's going to be a target. I mean, Tennessee, you know, they were absolutely embarrassed last year, 41-0. Jeremy Pruitt, Kevin Shear, they know the personnel. Everybody's got a reason to want a piece of Georgia. And Georgia's going to be a top-five team, and they're going to be hunted by some teams. The key is, can Kirby continue to make them the hunters? And the way to do that is to make these guys compete for their positions week in and week out, where they don't have time to get complacent. They can't afford to get complacent. I think that's where Georgia's at right now. I don't know where the leadership is at, though. You know, the fact that, you know, there isn't a starting quarterback determined, the fact that the quarterbacks haven't spoken to the media, you know, that tells me things are still getting sorted out. I don't know who the leader would be right now on this football team, to be honest with you. Maybe Ledbetter might be the only guy I could really point to that would seem to have his position wrapped up and has stayed healthy enough where, you know, he could, you know, talk and carry that authority. But, I think Georgia needs more leadership, and I think things need to shake out quickly, and Kirby alluded to that when he said he was looking forward to scrimmage this weekend.
Let's talk about quarterbacks here for a moment, because I read the piece that you wrote about the competition that's ongoing at Georgia, and I think DeFromm is going to be the winner of that competition, at least for right now, but I do think it's obviously a very interesting competition nonetheless, because I think Justin Fields is good enough to play. And you know, what I liked about what you wrote about this week was you kind of called back on some of the things that Kirby Smart had said about this going back to the spring and destined the SEC spring meetings there. This is something that he takes very seriously, and I think he sort of understands what's at stake for the person that sort of ends up on the short end of this competition. And, you know, I had my turn early this week comparing what I like about Georgia's scenario to what I don't like about Alabama's scenario, Jalen Hurts going public again this week. It sounds like you see some stark contrast there as well, and I was hoping you might expound upon that a little bit more.
Well, you know, I think Kirby's more of a player's coach. You know, he's a younger guy. I think he can relate better to the players than some of the older coaches out there. You know, he's a former SEC player himself. He understands it. You know, he said he understands the pressure that social media puts on these players now. And maybe some coaches don't understand. Maybe some coaches don't care, don't think they have to worry about people's feelings because they've had success for so long. But I think Kirby Smart's a little bit more in tune than that. And, you know, I think he approaches it from a, you know, again, a player's coach perspective. He's going to be honest. He's going to say, look, this is why the situation is what it is. Not just going to say, do it because I say so, or get out of my office, or don't come to my office. I mean, I think his players feel like they can go to his office or talk to their position coaches, and that's why it's nice to have some continuity with your coordinators. Players can develop relationships with people in the building. It's not just a factory. There's relationships being built, you know, and that's what it takes, I think. You know, not everybody can do it like Alabama and just churn and burn and bring guys in and cut them loose and, you know, regardless. You know, like I said, a guy like Jalen Hurts didn't feel like he could talk to his head coach. I mean, that's a red flag. If I'm a recruit and I'm looking at that, I'm going, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
This guy didn't feel like he could talk to his head coach. I mean, this is Jalen Hurts. I mean, this is a guy who was a 2-year starter that's voicing these kind of opinions about his relationship with his coaching staff. I mean, that is going to really damage Alabama in recruiting. I don't think Kirby approaches it that way. You know, like you said, I believe that, you know, he talks to these guys, and he's going to explain. You can read what he said in Destin in that story about how Kirby's going to avoid a quarterback controversy. And, likes or dislikes and who's going to win the job. Listen, it doesn't matter. This is going to be a week-to-week deal with Farm and Field. Now, I don't know how it ends, but I know that how it starts is that Kirby Smart is going to do what's best for that football team every week. Every player on that football team believes it. And at the end of the day, one of the quarterbacks may not like it. I don't know. But right now, everybody's all in because Georgia wants to win a national championship this season, Brandon.
What do you make of the Terry Gowan situation? Kirby said on Friday that we'd make too much of what he's calling a minor knee injury. It sounds like he was practicing during the visible period yesterday, but maybe Kirby describes it as maybe not doing a ton after the media sort of left the practice facility there. This is obviously not a big thing yet, but at some point in time, you need what you think of as your leading wide receiver to be out there on the field at full go during practice. What do you make of what's going on with Terry Gowan at the moment?
Well, I mean, I just, my guess would be, and I'm strictly guessing, he probably had some sort of arthroscopic cleanup, and those can take a little while before a guy's 100%. I mean, the good news is some younger guys are getting repetitions, other guys are getting work. Look, Godwin knows what to do. He knows the playbook. He's a veteran. He's experienced. There's no need to rush him out there. Let him heal completely. You need him for South Carolina, right? So in this situation, it's a little bit, this isn't a guy that's just being complacent or taking it off and, this is a guy that, probably, like I said, probably had a little arthroscopic cleanup, usually, 5 or 6 week kind of deal. Don't know when it happened. It was never really released to us. He seemed to find it at SEC Media Days there early July, but it is what it is. I mean, and as for Kirby saying you guys will make too much of it, I mean, I think Kirby's kind of funny the way he interacts with the media, and funny in a good way. I mean, he's somewhat proactive. He's such a smart guy. I think he can anticipate storylines. He has a lot of themes. If you listen closely, he'll drop in there. Yesterday he said that don't blame Superman if he can fly, and he does. There's something to that effect. I think that was kind of a jab at his coaching staff. Because remember, it was just a week ago at the press conference last Friday that Kirby said he's going to demand his coaches get the most out of the players. And I feel like that was Kirby's way of saying that some of it is on the coaching staff, that some of these guys aren't playing up to their potential. So, it is interesting to listen to Kirby to try and read between the lines. We knew he was a four-time all-academic SEC. He's a very high IQ person. He thinks very fast. It behooves you to go back and read his transcripts and listen to the tape slowly. I've got this little thing on my tape recorder, Brandon, where I can hit slow, and it can slow down. And sometimes I have to go in and know, how did Kirby say that? What did he say? Really fascinating guy. So I wouldn't make more out of it than it is. I think that's Kirby basically saying, hey, when I say this guy's knee isn't serious, I really mean it isn't serious. Probably also looking out for Godwin, well aware that NFL teams will be evaluating him and wants to let those NFL folks know that this isn't the type of serious knee injury that's going to affect his performance.
You mentioned having a tape recorder that can play something on a slower speed. For someone like me who has a tendency to talk way too fast doing this program, I'm sure some of my audience might like to borrow that tape recorder to also slow me down when I go off on one of my sort of high-energy rants from time to time.
Yeah, maybe. Or they may want to speed you up when you're starting to make fun of all the other SEC teams. You landed quite a dagger on Tennessee the other day, Brandon. I was amazed. The Georgia fans are feeling pretty good, and you're kind of throwing some fuel on the fire there. And I guess that's what makes it fun, though, because how many years has Georgia taken abuse? And you know what? There's still people. I'm amazed. I do a couple of other radio shows, and I'll say, boy, I think Georgia's really good. And people will come, they choked. Georgia can't win the big one. They're never going to get it done. And I just think to myself, wow, is that really the impression of Georgia football? I mean, I guess it has been, 30 years since they've won a title, or 20, almost 40 years, right, 1980? But I never really looked at Georgia like that. I always thought Georgia was a pretty good program, did it the right way, and was on the verge. I never really considered it a choke. But I suppose that's the narrative out there. That's what the Alabama fans are going to keep hitting them over the head with, and other programs will keep poking at Georgia for. I just say this, I wouldn't poke too hard, because right now the Georgia football players that I'm encountering every day and the coaching staff that I'm encountering every day, they're a bit of a wounded bear. They're going out there this season, Brandon, with something to prove.
Well, Mike, I can't wait to see how it all plays on the field this fall. Really good stuff. Thanks for being with us on the program. We're going to look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com coming up in the days ahead. And of course, we'll speak to you right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, again very soon.
Always look forward to it, BA. Thank you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Always interesting stuff from Mike Johnson on the Mike Johnson. By the way, speaking of Mike Johnson, Mike's actually going to be on tomorrow. I want to get some thoughts from him about some of the stuff that's been going on in Alabama. Plus, we just haven't caught up with our buddy Mike in a while. Mike is going to be on the program tomorrow. But the Mike I was referencing right there was our buddy Mike Griffin. Listen, Mike is a very provocative guy. Very interesting stuff from him. And I have loved reading the DogNation.com. I just think his energy has been amazing. And he has been all over every facet of these Georgia practices thus far. So it's really cool having Mike Griffin here on the team at Dog Nation. And, you know, really just full go here for Georgia practice. And it's great to talk to him about that because he sees so many different facets, so many different aspects of what's happening out there on those practice fields and what the coaches and players are saying about when it's all done. So really good stuff from Mike in that regard. And speaking of the Alabama thing, let me start the SEC through with that because I saw Ross Pierce-Baker, one of the veteran Alabama offensive linemen, spoke to the media yesterday, essentially admitting there in Tuscaloosa that behind closed doors, players have met and talked about what Jalen Hurts had to say going back to this weekend when he really kind of threw the Alabama coaching staff under the bus a bit. I have made my point on this, and it's just my opinion. Let me be very clear about this, that my opinions have a tendency to be wrong a lot. So take this with a grain of salt. But my opinion on this is when you factor in what Saban has said about Jalen Hurts, with what Hurts has said about what, you know, was not said to him directly by the coaching staff, boy, it really feels like Hurts is getting processed out of this program. That Saban saying, I don't know if he's going to transfer or not, and yet, according to Hurts, not having any personal conversations to base that opinion on, it sets up a pretty tricky situation. You'd love to be a fly on the wall to find out what those Alabama players are saying about this privately. I know that they take, you know, team camaraderie very seriously. I wonder if Hurts is viewed as a villain here on the inside from the Alabama program for having sort of broken the unspoken code and, you know, kind of sort of going into business for himself as opposed to just being the team. That is a really tricky situation in Alabama. I don't know that it harms Alabama on the field that much because Alabama's a big favorite in every game that's going to play. I do know this, though, that, you know, Mac Jones, the likely backup quarterback, if Hurts is not around in Tuscaloosa this fall, that's not necessarily a national championship caliber backup, even though he had a pretty good A-Day game back in April, but we'll see how that all unfolds. Kind of a weird situation with a former Florida wide receiver, Antonio Callaway, with the Cleveland Browns. I hope I don't get the details on this wrong, but supposedly he was having a car shipped to his new home there in Ohio. And the car, once it was uncovered, somehow there was some marijuana left in the car. Callaway says it was not his. He cited for marijuana nonetheless. And you know, this is just sort of a weird story. And I know that, you know, marijuana issues is, you know, not quite as serious and significant. Maybe it once was. It's been decriminalized, you know, in a lot of states around the country here. But this is still one of those deals of, like, how many, like, bad stories can you hear about former Florida players? I mean, it just seems like Florida cannot get out of the police blotter here. And obviously, as a, you know, noted Gator hater, I do enjoy, you know, parts of that. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a part of me that kind of enjoys that. But there's a moment here for Florida when you start to wonder, can we get in the news for something better than what we've kind of been in the news for as of late? ESPN did an interesting thing. Y'all know I like it when they do their sort of like storylines for their preseason top 25 teams. One of the things they mentioned was, you know, the key like summer camp storyline for each of the teams ranked the top 25. And I wanted to point out what ESPN wrote about a couple of the teams that Georgia is going to play this season. Let me start here with Auburn, who ESPN obviously referencing the wide receivers for the Tigers. I think that's an important storyline for Auburn this season. When you think about Georgia playing against Auburn coming up later on in November, that wide receiver group is going to be there and be a big issue. Eli Stovall Hastings, of course, dealing with the injury. Now you start thinking about guys like Nick Craig Myers, Ryan Davis sort of stepping up and playing a big role there. I think that's really important for, you know, if Auburn wants to be competitive with Alabama in the SEC West, that's a big part of that. And if you are an Auburn team wondering, you know, can you be good on the road against Georgia, finding a way to stretch the Georgia defense vertically I think is huge. I think ESPN's right to bring up that wide receiver core in that regard. Also kind of an interesting take on the South Carolina situation. We talked yesterday about South Carolina wanting to throw deep, wanting to be more up-tempo. ESPN saying that that's a big storyline there for the Gamecocks as well. And I still am going to believe this when I see this. For Will Muschamp, who's a coach very similar to Kirby Smart, is he really going to abandon those sort of line-of-scrimmage principles and become sort of a high-powered, up-tempo offense at the expense maybe of his defense in some games? I'm going to believe that when I see that. Let me do one more quick story here for our SEC through. Poor Chad Morris at Arkansas, who already is dealing with a somewhat depleted roster, just had his third offensive lineman go down. Multiple starters here kind of impacted by this, and this is the thing the fans sort of always hold their breath about when it comes to this time of year of, please don't let anybody get hurt here 3 weeks before the start of the season, 4 weeks, whatever it is, before the start of the year. Arkansas already down three offensive linemen during its summer camp here for a team that's already not very talented roster. That is, those are injuries they do not need, and we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, one of the things I've had fun doing over the last couple of days is highlighting that great series written by Chip Towers, sort of done video with Chip and me, looking at how Georgia gets back on top of the division here for the second consecutive season in 2018. We're calling it Own the East, and we know that one of the aspects towards owning the East for Georgia here this year is, at least from some dog fans' perspective, getting tight ends more involved. That is why Isaac Nada is such an important part of the Georgia team. Let's highlight Nada right now. That's a part of our Own the East, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union.
Georgia's Own Credit Union presents Own the East, and a look at the names to know as Georgia tries to get back on top of the division once again in 2018. Hello, everybody. I'm Brandon Adams, along with Dog Nation's Chip Towers, and we're going to take a look at tight end Isaac Nada. Now, it's not unusual to talk about five-star prospects on this Georgia roster. There are a lot of them, but around college football, there aren't too many five-star tight ends. That's what Isaac Nada is, and he has a chance to live up to that billing and reputation here in 2018, right?
Yeah, and there's not a lot of five-star tight ends that we're talking about. It had nine catches last year. But, you know, I really respect Isaac Nada for the transformation I've witnessed since he's come in at the University of Georgia. Obviously, he was a big offensive weapon as a receiver the previous year as a true freshman, 29 or so catches, I think, just nine last year. But talking to him during the offseason, his proudest moment was the block he executed in the Rose Bowl that sprung Sony Michel for the touchdown, the game-winning touchdown against Oklahoma. So this is a guy who's come a long, long way. Kirby Smart has made it clear to him, I know you can catch the ball, I know you're flashy running pass patterns, but I want to make sure that you get that guy in front of you on the ground. And Isaac Nada made that transformation last year, and I think that's what's going to make him a particularly effective tight end in 2018.
Well, here's something else that Kirby Smart's made clear, and you know this because you're right there in the thick of those Kirby Smart press conferences every week. He gets tired of talking about why Georgia hasn't used the tight ends more, but that question's not going away, and it centers around Isaac Nada a lot, right?
It's Isaac Nada is a lot of it. It's not just Isaac Nada. Obviously, you have Charlie Warner. I mean, you know, every time you look around, Jackson Harrison, Harris is actually making a very good catch. Now you add Luke Ford to the group. So that's a very talented room. All of those guys are coming in highly advertised. But the truth of the matter is that particular subset of athlete, generally 6'5", 6'6", 250 pounds, you can't find enough of those guys, and they'll find plenty of ways to utilize
When you add John Fitzpatrick, the incoming freshman from Marist in that group, pretty clear tight end may be a position group that helps Georgia own the East in 2018.
Own the East is brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union and Georgia's Own Visa Signature Card, which gives 1.25 points for each dollar charge and can be redeemed for cash back, gift cards, travel, merchandise, and more. Check out georgiasown.org for more details. I like Scott Harris's comment in the Facebook comment section about Isaac Nada, who was just featured there in our Own the East series, that this is potentially the pro campaign for Isaac Nada here this season. I think that's true. I think Nada does have the NFL on his mind, and I think he should. I mean, Nada was a former five-star prospect coming out of high school. There aren't very many former five-star tight ends in college football anywhere. Nada's one of them. He could be a big-time draft pick if it all kind of comes together for him this season. You could say the same thing in the future about guys like Charlie Warner as well. It's a very talented crop of Georgia tight ends. And I've said before, and this is sort of a small consolation for many of you, that Georgia's tight ends are dangerous even when they're not catching the football, and the presence of the tight end on the field makes the team better, even if it's not throwing to them. And while that's probably true, I think it's also true that many of you are still eager to see guys like Nada, a fan favorite, Werner, a fan favorite, incoming freshmen like Luke Ford, a future fan favorite. You want to see those guys involved in the Georgia offense. Maybe 2018 is the year when, in fact, we do see that happen. All right, we'll get ready to wrap things up today. Before we do, let me remind you to keep this date circled in your calendar here, August the 23rd, for our great Dog Nation season kickoff there at the brand-new Kroger Incoming. It's going to be a lot of fun to be a part of on August the 23rd for our Kroger season kickoff there at the brand-new Kroger Marketplace. It's 5550 Bethelview Road in Kroger. They've got one of those Kroger crowbars there. Who even knew this existed before last year? A bar at a Kroger. You can come hang out with us and talk a little Georgia football that night. A lot of fun and surprises on Thursday, August 23rd at the Kroger at the brand-new location and coming on Bethelview Road. We'll be there starting at 6 p.m. on August 23rd. That's going to be a lot of fun. Let me tell you something else that's going to be a lot of fun. Going to Jacksonville October and beating those lousy, stinking Gators 80 days from right now. It happens again. It's our Gator Hater Countdown right here on our Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We look forward to doing that and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.